I just want to say thank you all for having been such a great audience for all these years. Those of you who are listening to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett, and Jesse and Gina and everybody else who's worked on the show. It's been a pleasure. Of course, you know, sadly, I come to tonight knowing that this is my last show on Coast to Coast. Next week being the rapture and all, you know, I'd like to think I won't be here for next week. So if I am here for next week's show on Coast to Coast on the day of the scheduled rapture, May 21st, 2011, then if I'm here and you're still listening, I guess we're both in trouble. But, well, I don't know. See, now that I say that, I don't know. Maybe I don't know what time the rapture is supposed to hit the central time zone. I'm in central. And could that be that it's going to hit different time zones at different, you know, opportunities? For example, you know, the earthquake is supposed to start somewhere at like 6 p.m. Pacific and work its way over. So I'm not sure. It's entirely possible that next week on Coast to Coast, I'll actually be going to a break and I'll see, you know, and then coming up next. And then you just never hear from me again. And I will have been raptured right during the program. I don't, you know, we've got it down to the day and the year, but not the hour. So maybe that's the trick. So we'll find out next week on Coast to Coast. I know a lot of people are probably stressing about that. Don't. I've probably got half dozen emails this week from people asking me somewhat trepidatiously, so what do you think the odds are that there'll be some sort of rapture? There won't be. I think we'll be fine. These predictions have come and gone over the last two millennia. I don't believe Saturday will be any different, but who knows? You know, I could be right in the middle. I could be in mid-sentence. I could be like Paul Harvey. I could be saying, Paul Harvey, good day. And before I got to the good day part, just gone. You'd just be waiting for, you know. But here's what I do know. Is that next week it's going to be very stressful for the followers of Harold Camping. For those people who have invested, if you've been reading some of the articles, you know, literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars of their own money to promote this rapture on billboards and on bus boards and specially wrapped cars and trucks that have been driving around promoting next week, because they don't have a plan B. I mean, every guy I've talked to who's buying into this, there is no May 22nd on their calendar. It's just over. So if you've been spending all your time at week, you know, during the week at your job talking about what's coming and then nothing comes, God, that's a long walk back into work on Monday morning, isn't it? I mean, so let's be nice to him. You know, we can ask Robert Cracknell about this coming up next hour. The Lonely Sense, the autobiography of a psychic detective. We'll ask Robert Cracknell about the supposed apocalypse for next week. He's a very interesting fellow, and his autobiography is a way of explaining not just his experiences as a psychic, but also what this type of experience is all about. So, like, what are the mechanics of being able to solve crimes just using your mind from a distance, or using an object in a place, being able to point to a map and say, have you looked here? And we'll talk to Robert Cracknell about some of the most famous experiences, some of the most famous cases he's helped to crack, coming up next hour on Coast to Coast. But of course, you don't have to be psychic to be a great detective. Sometimes predictions can come just from people who are very well studied on the subject, that being Catherine Ramsland. Did you hear the prediction that she kind of made on this show a couple of weeks ago that came true this week? We'll share that with you coming up in just a minute, as well as the story of the college conspiracy. This is coming out, available on a DVD for purchase, I think, sometime on Monday or something. But we're giving you an advanced look at the college conspiracy. A very interesting research that says if you've paid a lot for college, you did it under a false premise. Somebody has sold us all a bill of goods about what our college bills are supposed to provide for us. For those of us who are putting kids through college as we speak, such as me, perhaps you too, or for people who are still paying off their college bills, We've been hoodwinked into thinking that a college degree really means anything. And we'll talk about that coming up next. And who benefits? What is the college conspiracy? What does it unveil? Who is it that is at the top of this financial pyramid? Who is it that is benefiting most from this taxpayer shell game? This is fascinating. You got to hear it. We'll get to the college conspiracy coming up before we talk about The Lonely Sense, the autobiography of a psychic detective, next hour on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Are colleges deceiving Americans with myths and hoaxes? I'll tell you more about that coming up in just a second. And why it is that we should be suspicious of the claims that our kids need to go to college in order to be successful, or that we needed to go to college to be successful. We'll talk about that coming up in just a moment. And we will take some calls for our guests. But first, I just want to play something for you from last couple of weeks when we were talking with Catherine Ramsland, professor, author, forensic psychologist, about the developing story of the dumping grounds in Long Island of what was presumed to be at first one serial killer. And the conversation with Catherine Ramsland was sort of focused on that. As a forensic psychologist, what was she hearing in these stories about all of these bodies that were being found along a beach? And what can we know? She was frustrated because she heard so many assumptions being made by profilers that there was no facts in evidence to base it on, things about age and about race and about other things, which there just wasn't anything to say, though this is going to be it. And she actually made the point on the show on Coast to Coast to say that, in fact, we don't even know whether or not the perpetrator here in this case is acting alone. And she was the first I'd ever heard that said maybe there would be two serial killers working the same beach. Roll it, Jesse.
It's not the first time that's happened, oddly enough. It also happened in South Africa. There were two different serial killers using very similar dumping grounds, and they had quite a few bodies between them, but they didn't know each other.
Recently, we heard out of Suffolk County, the district attorney's office, that that's actually a theory they're working with now, is that with all of these sets of remains, there may be two, at least two, maybe three killers who are using the same area of the coastline to dump their victims. Still, thoughts and minds with those victims, as of yet, in most cases, unnamed, their families that are still missing these people. But it's important to point out, sometimes you don't have to be psychic to be a great detective. And we'll talk about one who happens to be psychic and detective coming up next hour, The Lonely Sense, the autobiography of a psychic detective, Robert Cracknell, on Coast to Coast. Now, we are also on top of a story, which I guess I misspoke on just a second ago. So the college conspiracy, the documentary called The College Conspiracy, is already available as of today, is when it hit the shelves. Gerard Adams is president of the National Inflation Association. Good evening, Gerard Adams.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing so well. You might know Gerard Adams from multiple appearances on TV, a lot of financial shows, Fox, CNBC. He's been called, in fact, one of the early predictors of the success for gold, and the National Inflation Association has a focus on that, of people using gold to hedge their bets here in the economy in the next couple of years. But we'll put that aside for the time being. And just I want to focus on the claims of the college conspiracy. As I just wrote my last check, I think, for the last year of college for my oldest son, I'm sensitive to this argument that you say there really is nothing to the belief that a typical American kid will make so much more money in their lifetime if they're a college graduate versus if they're just a high school graduate.
Right. I mean, I believe that right now the college education industry is the biggest bubble and one of the largest scams in U.S. history.
Who perpetrated the scam? How did it start?
Well, a lot of people don't know this, but first of all, it was actually hidden in the recently passed health care bill where the U.S. government completely took over the student loan business. This now gave the government the ability to provide student loans directly to students, and it has, you know, really made it tough for students to be able to afford school. Tuitions have continued to rise dramatically even through the 2008 crisis year after year, and it actually has devalued, in my opinion, the quality of education.
Okay, but so again, though, how did it start? What was the, as you say, that there's this control over the money and the whole bit, but how, when did it start that way? When was it that college was something which really did bring a huge financial benefit to the student, to the prospective citizen? And when did it start to become something which was not worth the money that people were paying to get?
You know, during the 1970s, college students were actually able to afford to go to college. They were able to afford their tuition without getting into a lot of debt. They were actually able to afford it with having just a part-time job. They were actually able to even own a car, a small apartment. I remember with my father, when he went to school, you know, he was able to go for a full year for only $2,000-$3,000, and he was actually able to afford it without having to get, you know, deep into debt. At that time, you know, the quality of education was much better. And nowadays, it's, you know, the complete opposite. You know, and now a parent like yourself, you know, has to start saving for their child's, you know, college education many, many years in advance. It can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And many students aren't fortunate enough to have their parents really to help them pay for their college tuition. They have to now take out these student loans, which are actually being abused at this time. And it's really caused colleges to dramatically keep increasing, you know, tuition prices year after year.
Well, would you say, go ahead.
I remember when, you know, my father, my grandfather would tell me that, you know, they were able to really be able to afford to go to college without their parents having to save for many, many years in advance. And it was much, the quality of education was much better. Back then, a 4.0 average actually meant something. It was a lot harder to get, you know, get good grades in school. Now, because of it's become such a business, you know, they're just, schools are just pumping out good grades and pumping out 4.0 grade averages just to keep kids in school, you know, to keep the money flowing in. So it's actually turned into, you know,
Well, there's some schools that are known for that, but some schools that really aren't known for that. I mean, you're talking about grade inflation, and there's definitely there's been a backlash against grade inflation, both at the high school and at the collegiate level over the last 10, 12 years or so, where a lot of schools, the ones that really wanted to maintain a national reputation, really started to crack down. I'm not saying that you're not right at a certain level of colleges, but many recognized that trend and reversed that a while ago. But I think the term that I thought was interesting in the documentary, I don't have a full copy of it, but from what I've seen in the college conspiracy, you refer to it as the college industrial complex. We're used to that in terms of the military industrial complex. Who is behind the college industrial complex?
The problem is really the government. The fact that they're increasing financial aid and making it so easy for students to borrow money, you know, especially during a time where unemployment is continuing to rise dramatically.
Okay, well, I'll quote here from your press release: the college industrial complex has created not only myths but outright hoaxes in order to scam American students into becoming indentured servants for life. 3 years ago, 15 new pharmacist schools were about to open in the U.S. The college cartel, as your group calls it, bribed economists to come out with phony research reports showing that the U.S. was experiencing a huge shortage of pharmacists. The report said that 150,000 new pharmacists would be needed in the U.S. by 2020 due to the aging baby boomer population and a huge boom in 24-hour pharmacies being built nationwide. Today, The NIA is receiving reports of pharmacies on the East Coast receiving 300 applications for each new pharmacist job opening. So this points to not just, you know, some of these traditional four-year schools, but you're saying that even at a graduate school level, these schools are being built so as to redirect federal funding into the schools. They don't really care who the student is. They're just trying to all grab for a piece of the college loan pie.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, it's even gone to the point now where we mention, you know, the pharmacies in the news where there was a shortage. You know, there really wasn't a shortage. And we've actually heard from many NAI members who went to school to become a pharmacist, and, you know, they weren't able to get a pharmacist job anywhere. And, you know, the same thing is going on with law schools where they're basically claiming that, you know, students are, you know, a very high percentage of them are able to get a job right after high school, and they're giving out these rates. But in fact, really, they're not, they're actually hiring their own students when they graduate, or they're including students that when they graduate are getting a job at Walmart. So they are very deceiving and manipulating with the placement rates after graduating college.
All right, we're going to we'll give the numbers here coming up so that people can join this conversation this hour on Coast to Coast. We're talking about the what is considered to be by some a scam, the whole college conspiracy to create a false need. This claim that you won't be able to be successful unless you have a college degree in this country. And your documentary here, Gerard Adams, says that in fact that's not true. That you'll start your life saddled with a huge amount of debt. The college will get all the money, and you'll have a degree which, in your documentary, you refer to as worthless. How is a college degree worthless?
Well, right now we just feel that we're pro education. I mean, the fact of the matter is that we just feel that times have really changed, and right now, there's so many people that are getting these degrees, and you know you're not able to get a job. And we believe that students need to start to think for themselves. You know, they're able to, you know, with the use of the internet, they're able to teach themselves and use online resources like NIA, or be able to just, you know, learn, use online school without having to get deeply into debt and learn from some of the best professors around the world. You know, they can become an apprentice. They can learn under a mentor and get into the workforce and start to build a career. You know, they can learn a certain, you know, get into a certain field that, you know, like a, you know, plumbing, learn how to work on an oil rig, learn how to get into the mining industry, learn how to get into agriculture, which is going to all continue to, you know, increase during a hyperinflation and inflationary crisis.
In the college conspiracy, you point out that Americans don't understand that most people that go through a four-year institution actually take 6 years to do it. And as I'm reading here, it said with U.S. tuition inflation for private colleges averaging over 5% over the past decade, assuming the same rate of tuition inflation continues, a college with a tuition of $30,000 today will have a tuition of $38,500 in the sixth year a student attends it. In College Conspiracy, you analyze the total cost to attend college by factoring in not just rapidly rising tuition expenses, but also the interest payments on student loans, the lost income that college students would have earned if they worked at an average entry-level job that doesn't require a college degree. But you're also saying that that colleges should start to offer lower cost internet classes. If they did that, then it would start to bring down the tuition and make it affordable and worthwhile for everybody, right? Isn't that one of the things you're saying colleges don't want to do?
Well, we're basically saying that the government should get out of the education industry. The free market should be involved in the education industry. Therefore, students would have to, you know, they would have to qualify through a bank in order to get a student loan to go to college. Therefore, it become harder. It would not just any student can go to get a loan from the government. It would become harder to qualify. There would be a demand to get student loans. It would create, the free market would create it would actually help colleges have to decrease tuitions in order for kids to be able to afford to go to school. So it would, you know, dramatically help students, the quality of education, with them not having to get into debt. If the colleges didn't decrease tuitions, they would have to close their doors. You know, therefore, online schools would start to emerge.
Okay, very good. Hang on. We'll get more from Gerard Adams, president of the National Inflation Association. They produced the College Conspiracy. It's available now. You can hook up with them and him at coasttocoastam.com. And we'll give you all the numbers for you to join the conversation. Is there a college conspiracy afoot? Next on Coast to Coast. Well, the phone lines are all locked up. I think maybe, well, the Skype line is open. And maybe we won't even get to that, maybe. But we'll try if you want to grab it now. It's the only line that's open because we got a full boat between here and Robert Cracknell coming up next hour. The Lonely Sense is the name of his book. He talks about being a psychic detective. True case studies of a psychic detective coming up next hour on Coast to Coast. And let me just say, again, in case I'm raptured, you're raptured next Saturday, it's been a pleasure being your Saturday night host on Coast to Coast. You know, I probably, you know, I'd like to think I won't be here next week, but it could be both of us. In fact, I did. You know how I like to prepare not just for the show that I'm doing, but I also like to prepare for the show that's coming up a week later. So I didn't know quite how to prep for next week. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I was reading The Lonely Sense today, and then as I was thinking about prepping for next week's show, I kept going back and forth between my friend Gary Janssen's book, The Rosary, A Journey to the Beloved. I was reading that in preparation for next week, but then also thinking, no, it's not going to happen. And so I was reading a DC Comics collection of the best of the Green Lantern, you know. So all I know is that if the rapture comes next week, there's going to be a lot of disappointed Oprah fans who are all ginned up for these last three episodes that they'll never have a chance to see. We'll know more a week from tonight on Coast to Coast. In the meantime, we'll get to your calls, and we'll wrap things up with the College Conspiracy. Gerard Adams is with the NIA that has produced this documentary with some pretty fascinating statistics we'll get back to coming up next on how there is a myth that you need a college degree to succeed, and that this myth is been used to cover the fact that there's a giant shell game from four-year institutions that are trying to get you to sign up at their colleges so they can move more of the federal loan money into their coffers. Coming up next on Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. Gerard Adams is the president of the National Inflation Association, an organization that is dedicated to preparing Americans to hyperinflation and even helping Americans survive in what they predict is an upcoming hyperinflationary crisis in the United States. Gerard Adams, would you be president of the NIA if you hadn't gone to college? Gerard?
Oh, sorry about that, Ian. I was on mute. No, I probably wouldn't have.
Okay. And we'll get to a bunch of calls here, and everybody wants to talk to you, and I think we probably have more calls than we have time for, but I did want to pass this along, and it's an interesting point. That according to the statistics from the government, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 60% of college graduates since 1992 are employed in positions that are considered to be low skilled. Now, assuming that they're not happy, or that they were, I mean, it's one thing if, you know, if they studied poetry and now they're a carpenter and it works out great for them because they love being a carpenter who writes poetry. I mean, there's things like, or I don't even know that carpentry would qualify as low skilled, by the way. It very well be high skilled. But my point is just there may be a lot of people who study one thing in college that have nothing to do with what they do later on in life. But that's a fairly staggering number to think that there's a lot of people who have college degrees who are working in restaurants that did not plan on doing that when they went to college, correct?
Right. Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, I have a lot of friends that have recently graduated or have been, you know, out of college for the past, you know, 2 years and can still not find a job in the field of their choice, you know, with their college degree, and they're working in low skill jobs. So,
okay, we'll get to the calls here. I'll just say this, that I can understand why in the College Conspiracy, which is a documentary produced by the NIA that you can get by going online.
By the way, everybody can see the documentary right now. We released it tonight. It's on our website at inflation.us. If you just go to the video tab, just so
okay,
you want to see it.
Okay, so they don't have to buy it. They can just watch it right there.
No, it's
tonight.
Absolutely free right now. Just all you have to do is go to inflation.us.
All right, so of the I thought it was interesting. You said you've talked to CEOs personally who tell you that in today's world, those who didn't attend college are actually more likely to stand out when it comes to hiring. This is true?
Yes. I mean, right nowadays, everybody has a degree. Most of the CEOs said that they're looking for, you know, students that have a passion for what they do, you know, can think on their feet, you know, really love what they're doing. You know, it's not so much about the college degree.
Okay. Let's go to east of the Rockies. John is in Boston on Coast to Coast for Gerard Adams of the NIA, the College Conspiracy. John, where are you with that?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Ian, I've been, you know, a long-time listener, and I'm only 20 years old, so I'm definitely one of the younger listeners in the audience.
And yet, a beautiful life, too young to go next week. So thank you for dedicating what precious
exactly.
time we have left together. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk to you guys about just grad school, because, I mean, I'll be a senior this fall in college. And, I mean, my big concern is obviously paying back these loans when there's no jobs out there. And is it even worth it to go get that master's degree with? I mean, there's no problem.
In what profession, John?
I'm a business major, so, I mean, there's plenty of opportunity. But, I mean, it's unbelievable how many people and students are applying for unpaid internships.
Sure.
That I'm finding, let alone actual paying careers when we graduate. So that's, you know, a big concern of mine, to even bother going to grad school or not.
Thank you, John. Gerard, what would you say to John about B school next year?
Well, it's, you know, a lot of, you know, he brings up a point that right now a lot of students, they can't find a job. So they end up thinking that they should go back to school, getting into, you know, more debt, and thinking that if they get a master's degree, you know, they go back to school for a couple of years, that, you know, that it'll help them get a job later on. And you know, right now, they might as well just go back to school because they can't find a job. And, you know, really, that's not the case. I think that you need to think outside of the box. You need to get right into the workforce right now. Do everything you can. You know, I think that you have to be unique. I mean, me personally, when I first started trying to get into the workforce, I was extremely aggressive. I wanted to become an apprentice. I wanted to, you know, go and, you know, knock. If I had to knock on a CEO's door, you know, for 30 days straight and said, just give me an opportunity, let me work my way up, you know, I think that would be something more unique than the 10 interviews he would get that month with everybody who has a college degree. That you need to just be aggressive. You know, you need to show that you can, you know, that you're unique and, you know, get into the workforce rather than get back deeply into debt, because that debt you have to pay back. That's with you for life.
You know, there was a story actually ran this week about how I live here in Minnesota, and there was there's a new push on to get more people to consider to go back and get a teaching certificate, because there's going to be supposedly this huge bubble that'll burst of all of these senior, almost, you know, about to retire teachers who are taking their benefits with them or leaving the system in the next, you know, 2 to 5 years or something. There's supposed to be this huge set of openings. And I mentioned that on the air on my other show, my weekday show. And somebody called up and said, no, they've been saying that for years. She actually was somebody who went back to school to get a teaching certificate, and she's never been able to get a full-time job in 4 years of applying because there's just so many people running out there with teacher certificates. So I thought that was interesting that right at the same time I'm reading the press release for the College Conspiracy, this woman said she went back, got into more debt to get a teaching, to get her master's to teach, and there's no position open for her. When those will start to open up, nobody seems to know. Jeremy is in Houston, first-time caller line on Coast to Coast for the College Conspiracy. Jeremy?
Long-time listener. My big thing is I have already graduated from college, and my younger brother and my baby sister are just getting into college. And I've been trying to tell them, you know, watch for the debt. You see how much debt I'm in. You know, how my job and my career is going. And I'm trying to show him that my brother, he hasn't really paid attention to anything I've told him about it. And as far as my sister, I've been worrying about her because I think she realizes what's going on. She just needs that extra push, that extra guidance. And I'm wanting to know what I got to do to help her.
Well, Jeremy, I mean, I love the fact that, you know, you care about your brother and sister and that you want to help them. And I think that, you know, we need more people like you, more, you know, that are going to spread the word and try to help their family and friends. I think the first thing that you need to do is have them watch College Conspiracy. Go to inflation.us, sign up for the free newsletter, watch the documentary, show it to them. You know, I think that, you know, from the time you're growing up as a little kid, you're taught that going to college is, you know, the way you're going to become successful in life. If not, you're going to become a failure. And, you know, you have to tell them that that's just not the case. They need to, you know, lots of times they want to go to school just for the experience, to be with friends, for the partying, for the sports, to go to the games. You know, I think that, you know, you need to try to talk to them about what field they think they want to get into and, you know, make sure that they're not going to take out student loans, not get deeply into debt, and again, try to think outside of the box, figure out how they can teach themselves what they want to, you know, the field that they want to get into, and teach themselves by buying the textbooks, learning online, you know, trying to jump into the workforce, going to an online school. A lot of students want to be in a classroom with 100 other, you know, students learning from a professor, but what's the problem with just sitting in your home, you know, being in front of your screen in a comfortable environment and learning from, you know, still learning from a professor, you know, without getting deeply into debt. So, you know, I think that, you're going down the right path and just try to, you know, be that older brother in trying to relay that message.
Daryl is in Dalton, Georgia, wildcard line on Coast to Coast. Daryl?
Yes, hello. Glad I could speak with you before the end of the world next week.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for all that listening, Daryl. Appreciate that.
No problem. I had a quick comment and a question, if that was all right. my comment was actually myself. I never completed high school. And although I've attempted to go back to college, I've never completed a degree. But in my life, and I'm not even 40 yet, I've had three separate careers as a health and safety instructor for the Red Cross, personality, a disc jockey for the local radio station, and I know. And
yeah, let's be honest. The only qualifications that you need in order to become an on-air personality is body odor. And So you know that the college degree is not necessary in broadcasting. We all know that.
well, the other one was an electrical power dispatcher, but
cool.
All I did was walk in. It was just a diligence, putting in enough applications and, you know, kind of knowing where to put in the applications. And it doesn't seem like that if you have to go to college, and if you don't want to go to Harvard, the Pell Grants and like the Georgia Hope Grant pays for most of everybody's education.
That's true.
Where I'm from.
Yeah, the Hope Scholarship is a pretty cool thing in Georgia. Yeah, it's a model for the rest of the country. That's true. And so you're just from that lottery money alone, you can end up going to college and not end up incurring any debt along the way. In Georgia, in certain states, you can do
right,
that.
Right, that's true. Yeah. And my quick question was, I had read somewhere that there was a study about how, maybe it was Harvard that did the study, that the MBA degree, the Master in Business Arts, I guess it is, was destroying America. I was wondering if the guest had heard about that.
No, I didn't hear about that news story. But if you look at, you know, just look at the crisis that we're in today. I mean, you know, what Harvard and a lot of these Ivy League schools have produced. I mean, we went from being in the largest debtor nation in the world to now the largest creditor nation in the world, in the huge debt crisis. So, I'm not surprised to hear that. But,
yeah.
That's why we... Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just trying to find that story, and I found a couple of different, if you just type in NBA destroying, you can find a couple of different stories about that story. So it must be out there somewhere on that. Steve is in Washington, west of the Rockies on Coast to Coast. Steve, you're talking with Gerard Adams from the National Inflation Association, producers of The College Conspiracy. Steve?
Hey, Mr. Punnett, it's a pleasure to get to talk to you on your show. Mr. Adams could not be any more correct. I myself have served as a Washington State campus safety officer for 3 years, and I have firsthand knowledge of, you know, we're talking anywhere between 20 and 55 years of age. These students go back to school, especially with the economy drop. Now, I was seeing towards the end of my time there, I was seeing, you know, 55 and 60-year-olds coming back to school. These guys haven't touched a textbook since 1972 when some of these guys came out of Vietnam. Helicopter pilots, nuclear chemical operators, you name it. And now they're coming back because society has magically told them that they don't know enough to continue in the work world.
That's interesting.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
and then you look at, you know, there's a whole other aspect of this. You look at depression rates, you look at suicide rates, you look at, you know, some members of our culture saying, if I can't do this, I won't succeed. And, you know, we've got families that are pouring everything into this student who's between 18 and 24 to get out 3 or 4 years later. The job they want doesn't exist anymore. They're working McDonald's, making $9, $10 an hour, unable to pay those bills back. Go back to school, apply for another FAFSA grant, or student aid, really, and hopefully in 8 years we can accomplish a four-year degree. Now, where is this fair on both the student and the employer who's, quote-unquote, desperately waiting for this great college-educated student?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And the only one that wins out of that are a lot of these colleges, too, which are benefiting hugely, although – you know, some schools aren't, some schools struggle. But I think it's a fair point that you make in College Conspiracy, Gerard, that that there are schools that pop up where there's suddenly money available to loan. So if you create a loan program, somebody will create a college somewhere that's designed to take advantage of that. And that college, in the case of somebody I know who got into broadcasting that way, the college literally like closed their doors the day after he graduated. I mean, it was open long enough to get like 4 years of, you know, federal loan money. And then whoop, magically they disappeared. The college went bankrupt and the guy went to the Bahamas or wherever it was. It was kind of a scam. Let's go to Steve in Atlanta on Coast to Coast for Gerard Adams. You're kind of running out of time. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Ian, Gerard. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
How you doing? I just wanted to say, I mean, I completely agree with what you're saying. I'm a professional comic book artist, and I'm here in Atlanta where they got the SCAD, you know, Savannah College of Art program.
Sure, right.
I'm a guest at several conventions, and I have people coming over to show me their work. They're like, man, I'm graduating this year. I'm about to get my bachelor's degree. And these guys don't know perspective, anatomy, storytelling. I mean, they're paying an exorbitant, you know, fee for what they're being taught, and you know, it's one of those jobs, I think, doing comics, you either have it or you don't, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely talent-driven.
You know?
But Savannah is a great...
But I've done, and I was self-taught, and it's paid off. I've worked for all the big publishers. I'm currently drawing Batman.
Well, I think that's really cool, Stephen. I really do. Savannah is an excellent school, so it disappoints me to think that they're producing students that don't know those basic things. But you are right in pointing out that you're in a talent-driven business. Go ahead, Gerard. You want to throw something in there?
You know, I think that, again, people should try to be, you know, self-educated. I think that people need to, you know, try to save up. I think they should be investing, you know, instead of going to these schools. I mean, they can use that money to invest into gold and silver, use the money that they, you know, that they're from that investment to then use online resources to, you know, to educate themselves and, you know, use resources like NIA, and I think that that's the route to go.
Okay. Well, no surprise, the president of the organization would say the route to go is the NIA. But to your credit, that's a good, it's a good last-second plug. Hey, Ben, you're on the Skype line. Real quickly, I can get in. If you keep the question short, we might be able to keep the answer short and work you in. Ben?
Well, I guess what I would have to say is I'm 23 and I actually own my own business. I do printing. I guess my question would actually have to be, as to vocational schools and community colleges. I was
okay. Well, that's all we have time for. So vocational colleges, real quickly. We got about 10 seconds for an answer. Gerard?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that's unique. I think that, you know, going to school to learn something unique, is important. You know, I think vocational schools, learn. My friend went to a vocational school.
That's all we got time for, Gerard. Thank you so much, Gerard Adams. But I agree, nothing wrong with a good trade school. Sorry, we're just up, and we got the Lonely Sense coming up next. Robert Cracknell on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett.